Thanks, y'all. Well, good morning. My name is Chris. I'm a pastor and elder here at Resonate. I'm glad you're with us on this Advent Sunday. I was told I was dressed as an Advent pastor today. I don't even know what that means, but it's the sweater. That's what I've heard. It's the sweater. But we are in a season of Advent, which means like coming or arrival. It is a season marked by the history of the church. As a sort of a time for preparation to kind of look forward to Christmas, that it doesn't sneak up on us, that it's a season to almost prepare our hearts the way that Lent also serves the church. And so Fleming Rutledge famously kind of said, Advent begins in the dark. And Christmas often becomes a season for many. I mean, even talking before the service about even people's experiences just this past week, a time that's complicated. Interpersonal struggles, relational struggles with family members or friends, spiritual battles, maybe going through a season for the first time without a loved one in the family. There's a lot of weight that can happen in Christmas. And Advent is not just a celebration of light, which does get played out. We light the candle. We ultimately will lead to Christmas where we light candles and spread throughout the room. It's a wonderful experience. But it also requires, I think, an acknowledgement of darkness that the light actually enters into. Isaiah 9 says this. I'll pull it up. There will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In a former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it. This. I can't read that and not think of Handel's Messiah, but this text is crucial. It's Isaiah speaking at a time when there's sort of this moment finally for people to have hope, but it's a time when Israel was under pretty deep oppression. The Assyrians had shown up to town. There was a lot that was falling apart. The leadership of Israel had completely failed them. There were many who had turned from God. There were idols being built all over the country. Injustice was happening to many, and this brutal foreign group had decimated the north pretty badly. And there had to be a feeling for the people, where's the hope? When it feels like there's such deep darkness, God, where are you right now? And darkness is a theme throughout Scripture, darkness and light. And darkness often represents more than just the absence of light. Sin, suffering, separation, brokenness, these big themes throughout the whole text. There's the formless void, even in Genesis 1, that will eventually have its culmination in this oppressive darkness in Exodus 10 or Isaiah 59. Darkness reflects in some ways eventually the human condition apart from God's presence and his grace. The darkness here in Isaiah is even described as a yoke of burden or a staff upon shoulders or a rod of oppressors. Language that we almost use today, right? We say things like, I feel so burdened right now. I have a lot of weight on my shoulders right now. And many of you come into Advent experiencing just darkness. It's a real experience. Maybe loneliness or depression or anxiety. Right? Some of you are sitting here today with a deep sense of loneliness. Maybe the absence of a loved one. The ache of feeling unseen, the quiet pain of just not feeling like you quite belong anywhere. For others, depression or anxiety may feel like constant companions that just won't go away, pulling you down or feeling like you're stuck in a loop of worry, and it's exhausting. Perhaps even as you sit here, your mind is racing through thoughts you can't quiet. Maybe the weight even feels like I can't even engage in this conversation today. Right? And if that's you, know this, you're not alone. And Advent makes room for darkness. It's a recognition that it's the season that we're in. Guilt or shame or sins or broken relationships also play into this. Maybe for some it's not loneliness or the sting, but maybe more the sting of guilt or shame that feels overwhelming. You feel haunted by something you said or did or didn't do and replays in your mind all the time. Maybe it's a broken relationship or a friendship or a family bond right now that's just severely fractured or severed. You long for reconciliation, but the distance just feels insurmountable. Maybe it's shame. You feel like you're not enough. Like no matter how hard you try, you don't measure up to what you think you should be. You're not where you wanted to be. Perhaps sins in your past or some that you're walking through that feel entangling, leaving you stuck. And Advent makes room for darkness. Or spiritual dryness, doubts, distance from God. Maybe you may feel spiritually dry. You feel like God is distant or silent. Or maybe you hear the stories of the miraculous birth of Jesus and you're like, is that really true? Maybe prayer feels very one-sided right now. Worship feels hollow. And the light of faith that once burned brightly may now seem like a flicker. Or perhaps it's even felt like it's gone out entirely. And Advent reminds us, even in these kind of seasons, God is still present. Just as Moses encountered God in the thick darkness, I think Advent encounters us in the dark. And what does darkness do? Like when you're in darkness, it does things like it quiets us. Maybe it makes us feel vulnerable in that moment. Or maybe the opportunity to hide. It challenges us to, I think, feel discomfort. And I think in this season, it invites us to be honest about the darkness. Instead of rushing through to false cheer and shallow celebrations and warm fuzzies of Hallmark movies or whatever it is, we sit in the discomfort. So instead of the Q&A, we're going to have some elements to do together now. And so here's what I want to do. Because there's even a physicality of darkness that we experience. So we're going to turn the lights off in the house. And if you're watching online, just you can close your eyes. You can turn the stage lights off too. Close your eyes and join us. And we have windows, but other than that. But notice how you feel as lights go out. Darkness quiets us. It could be unsettling. Maybe places where we feel exposed. It can cause a strange sense of hiding, that we can escape things, or for others it might bring fears or memories. But in time, your eyes start to adjust. Even in darkness, light becomes visible. Pay attention. Darkness can be hard, uncomfortable. Exposes vulnerability, fragility, even. Sometimes even thoughts or questions arise that maybe we wouldn't even say out loud. Now we'll bring the lights back on. There's no gradual way to do this in our current light setting. But even consider how, as the lights come back on, there's sort of even a comfort. It reveals what might have been hidden or I didn't see quite as much in the dark. We have to sit in the dark, to eventually see the power of the light. Even imagine 2,000 years ago, it described the people as walking in darkness. This Isaiah text gets used for the birth of Jesus. And the common Israelite was deep in poverty. But by far, most of the country was in pretty heavy levels of poverty. They were under the might and boot of Rome at their time. They were under the spiritual brokenness of a very corrupt priesthood. They were under the religious sort of heavy weights that the Pharisees put on them. It was dark and hard. And for many, a bit of a hopeless time. The question of, will there be light? Because one doesn't need to hope if everything's as it is. Like, I think that's where Paul gets when he talks about there's faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love, because eventually that's all we'll need. We don't need hope, and we don't need faith per se once everything is revealed. But we do need hope still today. Because we recognize not everything's as it should be. The things we get in Advent, the things we get about Scripture, like Christ has to be our living hope, our ongoing hope. We need that hope because in many ways we're still in darkness. In the first Advent, we can name the darkness, we can name what happened back then. There were spiritual, political, social circumstances, sin, brokenness, oppression, rebellion, all the things. All the reasons why people needed hope. And then we get writers like Luke come in. Wrong way. And he says things like, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness, and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace." And so some of the Isaiah prophecies are coming true in both John and Jesus being born. And then John 1 will write, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men and women. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And John will continue to use these themes throughout. John will go on to record and to say that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. And light in the Bible, as much as darkness has its themes, light has its themes. It's often the presence of God. It's the being of God. It's the word and the work of God. It's even used to describe the people of God made in his image. We're like sons of lights. So physically, light shines. Metaphorically, light shines. And the light sort of uses, in contrast, the darkness ultimately to be seen. Darkness is the realm of sin and death and disordered desire, deception. It's what forms things like depression, anxiety, fear, brokenness, brokenness between people, nations, ourselves, brokenness between us and God. But what light does is actually helps us to see what was unseen. It's the beauty of what light accomplishes. It's turning the light switch on, and suddenly the things that we thought might be there aren't there, and the things that we didn't know were there are suddenly there. What is true. And that can be comforting or terrifying, depending on how you look at it. Because at some point, if there's something in the dark that's brought to the light, we have to deal with it. We can fight, we can fright, whatever the two terms, flight, I guess. Fight or flight, not fright. I mean, you could be frightened. I guess there's one response too, is just to be frozen. We have decisions we have to make. And I think with the darkness, when light comes, we have a decision of what to do with that. And John, in a discussion about with Jesus in John 3, Jesus will go on to say that the light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. That's one way to respond. Sometimes we're scared to break things into the light, but I think Advent invites us both into the darkness and to sit in the darkness, but also to face what's true about the world. Naming the darkness, because honestly, when you name things, when you speak them, they kind of lose their power. Typically, typically in the church, we rush through the darkness. We just want to get to the light. We just want to get to the hope. And let's just move quickly there. We want joy. We want all those things right away. We try to shove all the bad stuff aside. But my hope today is not to rush that. Perhaps we name our darkness. Advent begins in the dark, but it doesn't stay there. And naming dark things is actually, I would argue, one step towards bringing those things into the light. So here's what I want to invite you to do. I want to turn down the lights again. And I want us to kind of reflect on darkness a little bit. I want us to name out loud darkness together. Almost as if you're praying or giving these things and going, I know these things are still true in some ways. I know these things are still reality around me in my life and others' lives. I want to name them. And we've named a few things already. But what else? I'll start us. Depression. Cancer. Something like war. What was that? Trauma. Yeah. Anxiety. Fear. Yeah. Addiction. Disease. Anger, infertility, was that one?
Grief,
yeah. Pride, loss, bondage, racism. What was that one? Isolation. And when we start naming these things, sometimes we end up where the prophets and the poets end up. How long, O Lord? Where are you, God? Why can't I see you? Why is your face hidden from us? Why are these still the realities on this side of the cross? And you could bring the lights back up. And these are the questions we can't be afraid of in an Advent season. God already knows they're in us. He knows the darkness that falls around us and that's in us, and he longs to draw it out. He longs for his followers to bring things from darkness into light. And they remind us that things are not yet how they should be. And God is still there, bringing light to dark things. Advent's dual reality is joy and sadness all at the same time. Barbara Brown Taylor says, there is a light that shines in the darkness that is only visible there. The greatest victories in Scripture are God meeting the deepest darkness. Like at Jesus' victory on the cross, it is described as a time of deep darkness. At Yahweh's victory over Pharaoh over in Egypt, it is described as deep darkness. Even the psalmist will say, surely the darkness will hide me, but even the darkness is not dark to you. Light, as well as our understanding of darkness, are both within God's presence somehow. Esau Macaulay says this, there's a certain comfort in hopelessness. It allows us to guard our hearts and protect ourselves from being wounded again. But the gospel calls us to the dangerous work of believing that God might indeed be active in our world, that in the midst of so much darkness, there is still space for light. It is here, God working in the darkness, that I think Advent has its richness. And we have to practice, we have to learn to practice, in some ways, a vocation of hope, a calling of hope. I think Advent causes us to start looking for the light, even when it's hard to see, even when it feels like an oppressive darkness going on in our hearts or in our lives right now. To trust in the light, believing that God's presence is there even in the darkest times. And hope for light. A posture of waiting, anticipating what is yet to come. And the question is, will we allow ourselves to dwell in the darkness, trusting that God is still present and working? Remember an old song from 20 years ago now? But it talked about being in the valley and how God often, if God's like water or things like that, it's the valleys that get filled first. It is there that God will meet you. But we recognize that darkness doesn't have the last word. God's light is already here. We are post-cross. We are post-resurrection people. We don't sit in 50 BC and wonder what's coming next. We know what has come. We have a true living hope now. We do recognize what Jesus has done. He has conquered sin 2,000 years ago to resurrect. He provides a glimpse of a living hope in his resurrection, a future reality of a resurrection world. We have these things, but until then, we get glimmers. Glimmers of hope, glimmers of the kingdom. We can see light every now and then break through the reality around us. Perhaps sometimes our own walk in darkness actually becomes illuminated. And sometimes that illumination comes by someone else who has had light break into their own darkness. When you're walking through depression and you hear somebody else's story of battling depression and battling depression and yet God having redemption in that, it gives you perspective. So here's what I wanted, one more interactive piece for us. Perhaps there's a moment to share some brief stories of where there has been light. 1 Corinthians 14 says, when we gather, everybody brings a hymn, a psalm, a teaching, something. And so normally, I'm the only one that really does that. So we're disobeying 1 Corinthians 14. But this is a Advent Sunday, we get to do it. And so my invitation is for a few of you to just share. Where have you seen hope break through recently? Where has someone's kindness or presence been a light in your life? How has God moved in a way recently that felt like light breaking through darkness? Because your story, your testimony may be a moment for someone else who's walking in darkness today to just be reminded that God works in the darkness. So he's just saying God's light has shone in her life group community. She feels like she's not alone. The community has been an answer to maybe a season of feeling lonely or isolated. It's great. How else? If you couldn't hear, I'll at least repeat a summary. But so they've been praying for their adult kids and for God to bring people in their lives that might remind them of who he is and maybe tell them about who he is. And so that's happening in the workplace without them even knowing until this past Thanksgiving of Bible studies and stuff starting up at work. It's great. How else? Yeah, so as you're overwhelmed with the experience of parenting small children, somebody came to help. That's great. How else? Maybe one or two more. Yeah, just. Awesome, Justin. I think everybody heard him, but just for those who might be tuning in at home, just a story of years and years of deep anxiety and finally feeling like there's hope and things are changing in a way also that can be a witness to others who are battling the same thing. I think it's stories like that that matter. I mean, all the stories. But just the ability to sometimes, I mean, some of you might be walking through the same thing, and you feel like you're doing it, and no one knows about it, and you're hiding, and you're keeping things in the dark. And sometimes the stories of others are just this moment to go, oh, not alone. And maybe I can bring these things out, communally, to God, all of it. There's sort of this already, not yet nature to this day and this season. His light is not yet sort of fully realized. But there's still these moments, still these glimmers, still these stories of redemption, still ways that God enters into and pierces the darkness. Even when the darkness feels overwhelming, the light is real and present, breaking through sometimes in very unexpected ways. And we carry this light with us as his people, which we will remember that much more on Christmas when we pass the candles around, that we carry the light and share it with others. But let us start here, that Advent begins in the dark, but it doesn't stay there. So we should recognize darkness, not ignore it, not rush past it, name it honestly before God. And in naming the darkness, whether it's loneliness, broken relationships, doubts, sin, burdens we carry, that we can take the first step towards bringing things to light. Light's breaking through, even now. So as you go this week, I want to encourage you to sort of continue what we did today. Name darkness. Take time this week to reflect what burdens, struggles, fears, sins are weighing on you. Name them before God in prayer. Read through the Psalms. They'll do that really well for you. Write them down. Share them with a friend or a trusted companion. It could be a tangible way to let the light start breaking into those places in your life. So name the darkness. Look for the light. Pay attention maybe to the way that God's light breaks through the world, even in small and unexpected moments. The Sermon on the Mount, there's this whole good eye, bad eye. And I think a lot of that's what you look for, you will ultimately find. And if we're looking for places where God is working and doing things, maybe we will see it. Someone's kindness, a word of encouragement, a moment of peace in the chaos. Maybe someone at the grocery store, it just helps you bag your groceries. And lastly, we're invited to be the light. We're the city on a hill that cannot be hidden. So we're supposed to let our light shine before all men. Advent invites us not only to look for the light, but to carry it into the world with us. That's why even our benediction, that's what we're invited into. There's others around us who might be sitting in darkness. And this could be a season to offer them the light of Christ. Might be a simple text. Might be a meal. Might be an act of kindness. A word of encouragement. A word of peace. So as we wait for the fullness of Jesus' light to come, let's remember that the light's already here in you and me, breaking into the darkness even now. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So whatever you're facing, hold fast to the light of Christ. It's present and steady and victorious. So go into this week, the light that's within you, that it would guide your path, your thoughts, your relationships. And God's with us in the dark, and his light never fails. So we're going to move into a time of communion. And we just celebrate the light bursting forth 2,000 years ago. And Jesus' incarnation that we celebrate at Christmas through his whole life, through his death, and ultimately through his resurrection. And he ascends to the Father, he's seated at the right hand, he sends his Spirit forth to start sending light into every dark corner of this world like stars in the sky, that we would fill all the places of darkness with light. And we come to this table recognizing that it was through his death that he accomplished that. Feel so upside down, but in the deepest darkness is where the greatest light can burst forth. So we give thanks to God, the Father of our Savior, Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of a sacrifice until he comes again. And at his Last Supper, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks for it, he broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you.